So we're continuing on in our study on the Lord's Supper. And question 78 asks, do then the bread and the wine become the real body and blood of Christ? This was the teaching in the Roman Catholic Church, which was, again, what we said before was the original recipients of the Heidelberg Catechism changed from being Roman Catholic to Lutheran to Reformed, depending on the faith of the prince or the government in charge. And so the attempt was to say, well, no, the Roman Catholic view of what happens in the Lord's Supper is incorrect. We need to teach what the Bible teaches. And so you find here a refutation with one word, and that is no. The bread still is bread, and the water in baptism is still water, and the wine is still wine. Notice how they answer the question. I thought this was brilliant. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ. Let's stop right there for a minute. That's something that I think, as far as I know, at the time, all churches taught that. There was not a church that I'm aware of that taught that the water in baptism became the blood of Christ. And so their argument is, well, even the Roman Catholics don't believe that the water becomes the blood. Well, neither do we. And then further, nor becomes the washing away of sins itself. Again, now there was an error even in further on, even into the Protestant churches, that there was something that happens when the water was applied in baptism that washed away a person's sins. In other words, you could make God forgive sins by simply sprinkling water and saying the right words. That, again, to me is very offensive. No. The water doesn't wash away our sins, but what does? The blood of Christ, which it points to. Notice it says, being only a divine token and assurance thereof. And we've talked about that earlier. So the argument is, if baptism is not the actual, the water does not change to blood, neither does the wine. The bread does not change into the body of Christ. So also the Lord's Supper, the sacred bread, does not become the body of Christ itself. Though agreeably to the nature and usage of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ. So what does that mean? The language of sacrament is the language of pointing to something else. And so when you do point to something else, you can refer to that using these terms. So think about it this way. On the news, you hear the statement, now, the White House said such and such today. Does the White House actually talk? And the answer is no, of course not. I'm glad I got some smiles there, right? The White House is a symbol or so pointing to the executive branch of the United States government, in particular, the president, the chief executive officer. So when the president speaks, we refer to that, or can be referred to, as the White House said. The president doesn't turn into the White House, right? We understand it's a metaphor. It points to something else. So it is when we speak about the body and blood of Christ being bread and wine, or pointing to it. It is something that connects us to, but is not meant to be literally the same thing. So next time you hear that, remember that. The president is not a building. Question number 79 goes on to say, well, then what does it mean when Christ himself called the bread his body and the cup his blood? Furthermore, the Apostle Paul speaks about the Lord's Supper as a communion with the body and blood of Christ. Notice, again, the answer is the focus is on Christ's teaching that teaches us not only that like the bread and wine sustains this temporal life, so also his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink of our souls unto eternal life. We need to eat. We need to drink. How long can you last without water? Not long. A few days, maybe? How long can you last without eating? Remember, I was reading a declaration by some Buddhist monk in Asia, say, well, I can sustain myself on breathing air. He died. No, we need to eat. We need to drink. And so much more, we need Christ for our eternal life. And so he uses the bread and the wine to point to himself as the true meat and true drink. And also, I think, and I think this is much more powerful, much more by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we as are really partakers of his true body and blood by the working of the Holy Ghost. How do you know that Jesus' death on the cross was yours, is yours, that you are forgiven? And the answer is, just as surely as I hold this bread in my hand, just as surely as I hold this cup, as I taste of the cup, so sure am I connected to what Christ did 2,000 years ago. Well, we've been thinking in our house a little bit about miracles. Recently this week, there was a video that came out about the Red Sea crossing miracle. And one of the thoughts was the idea that the miracle, the bit more biblical term, should be signs and wonders. Isn't that, in a sense, what the Lord's Supper is? It's a sign pointing to the wonder of the cross and the redemption of Christ. But again, we take of the Lord's Supper, and we, as it says, and all his sufferings, obedience, are certainly our own, as if we ourselves had suffered and done all in our own person. Just as Israel celebrated the Red Sea crossing, so we celebrate the greater miracle. God became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? Amen.